Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode, Daniel Clark Network Radio. Want to send a shout out to all the fathers out there. Happy Father's Day to each and every one of you in the sound of my voice. Today we have a great show coming up for you. We've got some special guests that's going to be joining us. Along with this guy right here. Sit back and listen to Daniel Clark Network Radio. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
There's a man in my house, so big and strong. He goes to work each day, stays all day long. He comes home each night, looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile. When he says to me, how's my job? Said that I've been studying hard all day in school. Trying very hard. The way she looks at him when he holds my little sister nail. And I heard her say just the other day, if it hadn't been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I color him father. I believe I color him love. We belong to the man with that big white grin. Got to call him father.
Twice as strong as gravity. It pulls me up and down and twists me all around. It makes me suffer helplessly. Inside of me I'm in prison. All there once was a time I had pride, but I lost all fame and even my good name. And there's nowhere that I can hide. wearing my heart on my sleeve. I'm living one day at a time now, hoping tomorrow never comes. But come it will, and I'll pay the bill. You get burned making love in the sun. Don't you know you're pulling me like a magnet, and I've got no will of my own. I'm just caught up in a magnet, and I can't do love alone. Baby, don't you know you're pulling me like a magnet, and I've got no will, no will of my own. I'm just caught up in a magnet, and I can't
Daniel Clark Network Radio. Happy Father's Day, my brother.
Happy Father's Day to you too, my brother.
Beautiful, beautiful Sunday. So what are you doing?
Well, I'm doing schoolwork right now. But, you know, I'm stopping just for you and your audience.
Yes, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Daniel Clark Network Radio. We're doing a special show to honor our fathers today. So if you'd like to call in and send a shout-out to your father, you can give us a call, 646-478-4995. Once again, that's 646-478-4995. And in the guest house today, none other than Mr. Wilbert Geist, which is the director of the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. You know it. Yes, indeed. So what's happening? What's happening?
Well, I enjoyed the conversation that we had earlier in terms of, you know, the real view of Father's Day being a day for single parents, whether they be male or female. Because if they were female, they had to be a father, just like I grew up under a mother who was my father, because I had no father.
Right.
And so she's both a father and a mother.
Uh-huh.
And in today's world, we have men that are their children more readily than what they were in the past. And so you have a situation where a lot of men are mothers and fathers, or have been mothers and fathers to their children. And so it's important
right.
for us to expand this view of what's going on in terms of celebrating Father's Day, as opposed to looking at through a narrow set of eyes. Just because he's a male, that makes it a father situation.
You are absolutely right. And like myself, I grew up without, the company of my father. In which my mother played the role of both. And so we have to look at Father's Day as a day for individuals that is playing the role, as you said, be it mother, man, or woman, they are still carrying that role if that individual is not readily available and participating in that child's life.
Absolutely.
So with that said, I'm hoping that our guests will, feel free to call into the station today, 646-478-4995. You know, show your father some love, send some shouts out to the individuals that's in your life that you can color him father, and we will have the creator of that song on the line with us sometimes today. So, Will, you know, we talked about a lot of things in terms of fatherhood, in terms of raising our young men, our young women. And based on your vision today, I mean, what would you suggest or what would you say in terms of how families are structured now today?
Well, you know, today's family, as I said, we have the situation of both either parent acting as both father and mother, and I think it's something that we need to look at very closely, because just because an individual is no longer married to or with the mother or father of the child, it's important for us to understand that it took both of those people to make that child, and that child will have personality traits oftentimes from both of those parents. And based off of the way that individual who is the parent, male or female, has lived their life, they have learned hopefully they have learned a number of things along the way that child needs to be aware of. And so whenever possible, it's so critical and so important that that child have access whenever possible to both sides of their parenting, because they are, in effect, a half of each one of them and have characteristics that each one of them has, and so may very well go through some of the challenges that each one of them has gone through. That's why they say alcoholics tend to have children who become alcoholics. Abusers of women or men tend to be abusers of their spouse, male or female. And so if an individual is reaching back to their offspring and communicating with them, they can assist them in avoiding a tremendous amount of mistakes that they will make over the course of their lifetime and be found in a position where they can be propelled to a higher station in life based off the fact that they don't make the same mistakes that their parents made, whether that ended them up in incarceration or whether that ended them up in a situation whereby they had a broken marriage, or some of the negative things they might experience, and it can put them in a position where they can have access to many of the positive things. For an example, we understand, and it has been brought forth aggressively recently, about racial profiling of young black males and possibly young black females. And so what you have is a situation is if they change a law and say, we're going to make this illegal or that illegal, and there's going to be this sentence of conviction and incarceration that goes behind it, I'm sure that most 10 or 11 or 12 or 13 or 14 or 15 or 16-year-old people, young people, they're not privy to that information. And so they're simply subjected to it, as opposed to them having some understanding and say, wait a minute, I want to do this because this is the way this is going to work out. And so whether it be recreational usage of marijuana, whether it be drinking and driving, or things of this nature, this society has over a period of time utilized these things in the life of the young adult, the young adult of color, to mark them so that they're affected in their early years of work, whereby at 18 or 19 or 20 or 21 or 22 years old, where they might find themselves in a position where they can make some sort of advancement in life and get a really good career, they may have a mark on their record that doesn't allow them to be able to take advantage of certain opportunities. And so for the connection that you are making here in terms of the parent or someone acting as a parent, standing in and educating the youth that this is what's headed in your direction based off of the system that you're in, this is how you can avoid that, this will enable them to be a better person and have a better life if they just if you can keep that relationship tied in between the father and the mother and the youth.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, and in other words, a kid 8 or 9 years of age is already being groomed to be incarcerated, and there's been studies that the system is designed, and once you, at that young age, enter into that system, more than likely you're going to be a part of that system straight into your adulthood, and then it becomes difficult for you to get a job because of that record. And racial profiling is definitely something that, you know, our government need to take a closer look after. And I've experienced that quite a bit being and growing up in the rural South, where you have policemen that their major focus is on events or neighborhoods that is predominantly black or brown people. So with that being said, it is a wonder why when you go to one of these small courthouses, 90% of the individuals in there is basically black or brown individuals. Now, that sends a question as to where are the white folks in this neighborhood?
I can answer some of that. I mean, many years ago, I drove taxi cabs for a living, and there was a particular call that I was asked to go on, which was to pick someone up from the local police station. When I got to the local police station, a white gentleman walked out. He got in my taxi cab, and he began to explain to me how he and his black counterpart were stopped and apprehended and taken down to the police station. Now, I didn't say he and his black counterpart were arrested, only because when he got down to the police station, having the drugs on him just like his black counterpart did, he was released. And I picked him up from the station, and his black counterpart was charged. Now, I have more situations that I've encountered similar to that where white individuals communicated to me that they were stopped by the police. The police saw all the drugs that they had in their possession and said, look, I'm just going to turn around and get out of here and drive off. I didn't see any of this, okay? And they just drove off. Okay, and so what we're saying here in the society at large, there's plenty of research out there to have access to, is that this is what takes place in our society. Now, I'm not saying that this is for you to find yourself in a situation and give a call for a march on Washington or any place else.
Right.
What you have to understand is that this has been a part. This model was actually taken out of ancient writings in the case of Egypt. When Israel was living there, they saw that the population was getting larger than their basic the population of the Egyptians. And so what they did is they began to engage in activities to reduce the population. And a part of that might have included some form of incarceration, which is why the minority community, African-American minority community, is so small, is because of the number of males that are incarcerated, which means that they're not going to be producing more babies. And so our population has been kept in check for a long period of time simply through the mechanisms of incarceration, starting them off with a misdemeanor, and then as they move forward, getting them caught up in a felony situation, and then eventually having them incarcerated, or being in a situation where they're unable to find jobs, and so they do things to earn revenue to do whatever it is that they feel that they need to do in order to feed that crying baby, which ends up in an incarceration situation where they, one, from the male perspective, and I have firsthand knowledge of this, oftentimes once they get into the system, they're happy with the system because they don't have the baby mama drama, because they've got maybe
right.
two or three babies in different places. And so it, in their mind, they begin to accept the mentality that, hey, you know, I'm getting my three meals a day. I got a place to sleep. I don't have to deal with all them babies that I have out there on the street paying child support or whatever the case may be. And so it becomes a safe haven for them. And so even when they get out, they might be found in a situation where they do something to go back in because of all the things that they were not prepared for. They are not, were not and are not prepared to deal with in terms of a relationship between a man and a woman or with society in general.
So in other words, they would rather be incarcerated to, I mean, you can't find a job. You've got all other kind of situations that you're having to deal with and to just get away from it all. A lot of them just rather be incarcerated and not have that responsibility. Or is it just that the system is designed to incarcerate young black men and individuals brown skin as a labor force?
Well, I think that's definitely a part of it. But I've personally seen a young man who, when he was given a sentence of 15 years, he actually had a wonderful smile upon his face because he knew that he was going to be incarcerated in the federal system as opposed to the state system.
Mm-hmm.
See, because he viewed that as having arrived. Because
right.
the food is different between one system and the other. And they can find themselves in a situation whereby they are part of the labor force of Unicor in the federal system, and they can earn some monies, and they can have some monies, and they can sit around basically and play games like chess and checkers and backgammons and different games of this nature, watch television and have money, buy their food at the commissary, as long as they're working at the Unicor or having money coming into them. Well, you know, that's an easy approach to life to some people. I didn't say to everybody, but to some people.
Right.
And what that does is that breeds more of the same. Because
yeah.
Go ahead.
The other thing is voting rights. I mean, once you've been tagged with that, what happens to your voting rights?
Well, depending upon the state that you're living in, the voting rights will be restored. But if I'm not mistaken, that's a state-by-state matter in terms of
mm-hmm.
restoration of voting rights. But, you know, that's also a part of it as well. But again, you know, you at your stage in life and me at my stage in life, we as males that are father representations, we're in a position where we understand this. But the,
right.
but the young man who's at the front end of the tagging, he sees the individual who's a drug dealer in his community or something to that effect, this becomes his goal. Because this guy has it going on. He has the really nice car, and he always has money on him, and I don't ever have to see him go to work, and he doesn't work at McDonald's, and he doesn't work at some of the other basic places. And now what we have to understand is just because your child doesn't in front of you praise or worship that guy as his mentor, that doesn't mean that child doesn't feel that is a potential mentor for him. And what we're looking to do is we're looking to change the mentality of, or the secret mentality of the young men, and help them understand
mm-hmm.
that they need skills. You must have skills in this life in order to be relatively successful. I'm not saying you have to make $1 million. Or $1 billion. But what I am saying is that you do need skills, something to fall back on, so that as you move forward in life, when things get tough, you can say, well, I'm not going to go out there and do this. I'm going to take another direction altogether. See, Because one thing that a lot of people don't understand is that there's no such thing as a young drug dealer that isn't known by the authorities.
Right. Especially in our small rural towns. I mean, a population of 2,500 and you are recognized by the name. You're Sister Clark's boy, or you're Whitaker's boy. You know, you know their daddy, you know their mama, you know their family. And that's how people associate you with different individuals.
Well, it's much more, it's much worse than just that aspect of it. What you have to understand is that many years ago, for those who do not know, it was found that the CIA or DEA was involved in the drug trafficking in the black community. Well, if they were involved in the drug trafficking, then that means that a young man or woman who thought they were doing something that no one was aware of because they had them pick up the drugs around the corner or whatever scheme they were using, the people who basically put them in business would be the people who were part of the system to arrest them.
Yeah. What about the Noriega and the Conquest War that was being funded, basically, drugs in our community as a way of funding a secret war? I mean, was that kind of like the beginning of all of this drugs coming into our community?
Well, you know, we just have to really look at it. I heard someone say this many years ago. I don't recall who it was. He said, people of color usually don't own planes or boats to be able to fly to bring it here. And they also usually don't have the money to be able to afford to engage in the transaction. They usually are not bilingual enough to be able to communicate with people from South America or Mexico or any place like that. And so to think that they have the wherewithal to be able to engage in international trafficking of drugs, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're having enough challenges trying to figure out if they're successful. Usually on the street, with the exception of a few, they're having enough challenges trying to figure out how to make $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 a week or a month. And when they make that kind of money, they think they've arrived. Well, the way this process works is simple. They make the money. They buy goods and services with the money. They entangle others with the purchase of goods and services that they make with the money, meaning their parents, their cousins, their brothers and their sisters. And then at some point in time, after they have gotten to a certain point, it's time for the authorities, who have always known who they were, to come and pick them up.
So then there's basically no drug dealers that's out there that's really not known by the authorities. They're just monitoring until such time they feel like, okay, well, you know, it's time to put him away.
Well, the government has legitimate drug dealers. They pay taxes on the revenue that they make through drug dealing. And somewhere in the chain, you're going to be dealing with them.
Mm.
So you think you're doing something on the slide. There's no sliding. Okay? You ain't doing anything in secret. It may be a secret to you. Okay.
Well, you say that individual think that they are operating secretly, but they are being monitored each and every day by the system.
The only question is, at what time do you get picked up?
Right.
How many transactions do you get to do? How many cars do you get to own before they can sell them at auction? Or before they
right.
utilize mm-hmm. those cars to trick and lure the next guy in into the system? Not
right.
to mention, when one person gets busted, they become an informant trying to figure out how they're going to reduce their sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Our young people have to wake up, but they can't wake up unless they really understand what's going on. And see, what's really going
right.
on is they're in a situation where they're trying to figure out how to survive, and they need the father and the mother and the father, mother, and the mother, father, meaning whoever's acting in both roles. They need these people to educate them and open their eyes and help them understand that life is not just an easy, you know, take it and roll with the type of situation. Life can be tough. But you have to have your ears open and listen out for options like the ones we're offering that will give you a trade, a profession, so that you don't find yourself in a situation. We said earlier, life is like walking through a minefield. And if you are going to walk through a minefield, it is always best to walk behind somebody.
Yeah, you don't want to be that front guy. Yeah, and I gave you an example of being in the military and doing the live hand grenades and having an individual in front of you that is not well versed in English. So when that guy pulled that pin and don't understand that they got to throw it within 10 seconds, I mean, you've got a real problem. So you want to make sure that you don't be behind that guy the next go-round, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but in terms of our young black men now, which a lot of them are fathers, and they're being incarcerated, which means that their son or daughter is now having a relationship with the father from behind the bars. Now, do you consider that as being hereditary, especially in some of our neighborhoods?
Well, I mean, when you say, you know, a lot of our fathers are behind bars, we have to understand that the relationship that the black male or the male of color has with the female, both being young individuals, is set up to put you behind bars in the sense that when he makes this baby with this young lady, and it becomes time for child support issues to become due, whether he's a young man or whether he's an older man, he's automatically almost criminalized. Now, when I say criminalized, I don't mean that he has to go to prison. I mean that he's in a situation where he's trying to figure out how he's going to survive because he's caught up in the court system. He's locked up on the street because financially he's strapped. Trying to figure out
right.
how to pay child support. Or when I say he, let's be real clear, he or she is strapped because they're trying to figure out how to pay child support. Okay? And so they're still incarcerated to some degree, even though they are not incarcerated behind bars. They're essentially on a form of house arrest, meaning they ain't got no money.
Right.
And one
right.
step away...
And also, we were saying earlier that it costs more money to be poor than it do to be rich.
Well, sure. Poverty is very expensive in terms of time, in terms of movement. Poverty is expensive because if you're going to take a taxi cab somewhere, that's high living poor. But that ride, you're going to take it in a taxi cab, it's not going to be cheap. If you're going to catch a bus somewhere, it's not going to be cheap. You're not going to be able to accomplish as much. You're going to pay as much as if you had a car when you factor everything in. You know, whatever it is that you're doing as you are impoverished is going to be a premium, like, you know, buying real cheap shoes at Payless Shoe Store puts you in a situation whereby they not only hurt your feet after a period of time, but all which is going to affect you from a physical perspective, but also they're not going to last very long.
Right. Okay?
So whatever you paid for them, you paid too much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, and then many things in life that you found that buying cheap or being in a situation where you have to buy cheap, it costs you more in the long run.
Right. Right. Now, it is an epidemic for drug dealers and for black-on-black crime in our communities. And we've setting up programs to try to capture these young individuals. And basically, for the young black male, there needs to be a system from the time that they are born and it is able to comprehend any type of training that you start grooming them from that point, because already at 5 and 6 and 7 years of age, that individual is already being structured through the community, through his peers, through the other individuals that's in the community. And if they see all of these activities that's going on in the community, they're feeling that this is what they're supposed to be. And we mentioned a young kid saying that, you know, if they live to be 20, 22 years of age, then that's a good day.
Well, one thing that I want to add is that we're using the term young black women, but we really need to say the children are sent to young black women as well. I mean, this guy is still pregnant and probably 13, 14 years old. And so that is an imprisonment for them because they're in a situation that should they find themselves in a position where they have to raise that child, they have great restrictions and limitations that are placed upon them because they're burdened with raising a child at a very early age. So also we have to understand from a social perspective that most men are controlled by their woman. Okay, and so that being said, is that we can't really help the men until we find ourselves in a situation where we're all assisting the young lady, understanding what they need to do and how they can more effectively communicate with the young men and teach the young men how to more effectively communicate with the young ladies as well. So I just don't want to just beat up on the young men, so to speak, and talk about, you know, how life is going to be so bad on them. This is why the father is so important whenever possible. It's because you have a situation where he needs, and when I say father and mother, he needs to be in a situation where he can have access to both of them. Now, when I say access to both of them, I'm not saying that the couple has to be a couple where they are happily married or married or this sort of thing here, because oftentimes that's not going to happen. We understand that. But I'm saying that that child, as it is growing up, needs to have access to both parents. Now, let me clarify that. When I say parent, I'm not saying just this man who's a white guy who married his mother or in reverse, who married his father, and I have access to this person as opposed to my biological. Biological parent is critical, because the child is a byproduct in part of the biological parent. So
right.
if the father had certain issues that they had to deal with as a male going through life, he can reach back and communicate to his son and let him understand, no, don't go that way, because here's what's going when you go that way. An apple tree, as best I can tell it, and maybe somebody else can help me out with this. I'm never familiar with an apple tree spinning off oranges.
Right.
It makes apples. Okay, and the same vice versa on any other type of seed. It makes a part of what it is. And so if you got a father who finds himself in an incarceration situation, there may be something, no matter what the circumstances were that he got in there, there may be something that his son needs to understand in relationship to how he became incarcerated.
Right.
Because I'm here to tell you, you have fathers that go to prison, and they have sons who come and end up in prison with them. So you
yeah.
have a family.
Right.
Okay, that's not an accident. That's not an accident. The type of creature that we are is we learn and we do based off of what we see.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what we've seen is dad spending most of his years in prison, then we have a high possibility of following that footstep.
Right. Now, what is the critical age? And I'm thinking, but we put it even back further, because I was thinking between 16 and 25 is really a critical point for young black men. But now we are thinking that even at 9 and 10, somewhere, there need to be some intervention.
Well, starting at about age 8. Is where the challenge, if you will, begins to settle in.
Mm-hmm.
That child is beginning to formulate and make determinations. Now, it can happen sooner than that in terms of moving in the wrong direction based off of how they're being raised and how they're communicating with their parents. If the child is telling their parent what to do, oh, how cute it seems at 2 years old, the improper foundation has been laid.
Right.
You know, get your hands off me. No, I'm not coming. Shut up and throwing tantrums and all of this. If that's not put into check, you have a situation where you might as well go ahead on and get ready. Because you got a long road in front of you.
Yeah, and you see it so often nowadays. How a lot of parents, they kind of think it's cute, but they don't know that that's the beginning of a disaster.
Well, the parent that would think it's cute is the parent that didn't really have the proper upbringing in the first place. They might think it's cute. Okay. Based off of the way we are structured currently socially, when I was going up, the paddling that took place in school, okay, if you were in a situation where you were a Zulu's child and you were down the street doing something that you wasn't supposed to be doing, your mama found out about it long before you got home. And Miss Johnson might have been the one that came out there and spanked you that had nothing to do with your family. That might have been the one that came out there and spanked you on the spot. Okay, and then brought you home and let you know this is what they had to do because you was out there not doing, you was out there acting a fool. Well,
yeah,
today,
and that goes back to it takes a neighborhood to raise a child, and which we don't have anymore.
From the African perspective, they would say a village. But see, what you're dealing with is in today's world, you spanked my kid. You have situations where men and women are married, but they have children by other people, and the father cannot discipline the child in his house. You've got situations that I'm familiar with where the child is the biological child of the father, and he still can't discipline his child.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking it to an extreme when we're talking about someone else disciplining your child. Okay, people aren't in a position, and some people are afraid to discipline their children based off the fact that they're afraid they're going to get locked up.
Yeah, and I was just getting ready to mention that. How about the system disciplining your child? And that seems to be where they're getting the discipline now, because there's so many of them being incarcerated as a result of guns and drugs and violence, black-on-black crime. And it just seems that the system is now raising our young black men, and I don't see any goodness coming out of there, because now they belong to the system.
Well, one of the things that you had the opportunity to take advantage of, whether it was by force or by choice, is that you had an opportunity to go through the military. And
right.
So what the military did is it gave you some discipline, and it also put some money in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you were working for a whole lot more than 12 or 13 cents an hour than the individual would be paid in a Unicorps type of situation.
Right.
Okay, and so what you're looking at is if young men or women are found in a situation where they do become incarcerated, and only making 13, 14, 15, 20 cents, $2 or whatever per hour, which would be extremely high at $2 per hour, these people are providing a service. We have to look at this in part as this is a system. And this system is designed to accomplish objectives. And the question is, what part of the objective design are you involved in? Meaning, are you a part of the prison complex in terms of targeted by the prison complex long before you even come to a point to where you understand that you didn't have to commit a crime to end up in prison, but you were targeted? Well, that's the part of the population, just like it's designed that a certain part of the population is going to prosper, and another portion of the population is going to do okay. Well, all of this system is here. The only question is where you're going to line up in relationship to the system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so that's why it's so important to have your eyes wide open, because this is not completely a crime-based situation where an individual finds themselves incarcerated. We have to thank the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution for that. There shall be no involuntary servitude, slavery, except for punishment for a crime.
Right.
Well, you punishment for a crime. Well, you say, well, I didn't commit a crime. Well, you didn't have to. All you had to have was 12 people who didn't really understand what was going on to find you guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so when that happens, you might as well have committed a crime, because you're going to experience all the things that you would experience had you committed the crime.
Correct.
Now, this goes back to...
I see you're absolutely correct on that.
Yeah, this goes back to Egypt, when in ancient writings where it talked about Joseph wouldn't sleep with his master's wife, and he was thrown in prison. Was in there about 4 years, if I recall correctly. But he didn't do anything wrong. We're so shocked in this society when we're found in a situation where we didn't do anything wrong, and yet we find ourselves being prosecuted, persecuted. America releases a whole lot of people from prison after many, many years who never committed a crime. This didn't start last week.
Yeah, and I guess our crime is being black.
Well, we can identify it as that, we if we want to, or we can just say, again, this is not necessarily a crime situation. This is a complex in the sense of there's a certain number of bodies that need to be incarcerated to fill that level of the social network that's in place. See, it's not necessarily about being black. It's just being in a situation where the numbers have to be reached. you can pull up information on prison growth and prison population and the facilities that they're building to house people in and other things along that line. Well, how do you know that so much crime is going to be committed? How do you know the prison population is going to grow by 6% or 7%? How would you know?
They've done studies, they've done studies and they have quotas.
Okay,
you know.
I go along with both of those. They've done studies. They've studied what group they're going to lock up, and they have quotas. Just like currently, there is something I believe is going on in Connecticut, where they have identified that they need to pick up those semi-automatic weapons that can be made into automatic weapons that the people have in Connecticut. And so they criminalized it. So they did a study saying we wanted this off out of the society, and they said, okay, we're letting you people know that if you don't come in here and give up your weapon, we're coming after you.
Right.
Okay. And so, again, you have to understand it's not necessarily about a crime that's committed. Quotas have to be met. Systems are in place. And don't look for mercy from anybody in terms of around you in the system, because what they're looking at is they're just happy because they get to go home at night.
Right, right. And the slogan that I came up with, why incarcerate, educate, because we've got more prisons that's coming up that's better than our schools.
Well, sure, they want you to be happy in there. What are you talking about?
So then, I mean, you really have more prisons than you have schools. And then look at a lot of our schools, especially in, you know, the African-American neighborhoods, these schools, and they were just showing one here in Richmond the other day where, you know, tiles falling out the ceiling on kids.
Sure.
What kind of sense does that make when you manufacture more prisons than you do schools that can accommodate young individuals? And you know the environment somewhat affects the mind and the way the mind thinks. So if you're in a school system that looks like a dump, then where's your mind at?
Well, again, what we're talking about here is a situation where, from an economics perspective, you want these young people, as they go into these prisons, to become a part of a workforce where they're going to be working for the same wages they might get if they were living in China or some other developing nation, you know, so many cents per hour or so much change per day. Now, if you have a more educated society, along with we're dealing with population issues at this particular juncture in the game, but if you have a more educated society, then you have a situation whereby you're reducing the numbers of people who you're going to have working at 13 cents an hour. Okay?
Yes.
You didn't say that they wanted to throw you in jail just because. If you go ahead on and commit the crime, at least we'll have a legitimate reason for putting you behind bars.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So this
is
by design. This isn't anything. So that's why those people, what you're identifying is, as we reach out to save the children, what we're attempting to say is we want to educate a sector of the population on how to potentially avoid some of these pitfalls. Okay?
Right.
We're not saying that we're going to save them all.
Oh, no. But if we can save two or three,
that's exactly what
we can redirect the minds of two or three, and if we can do it by the thousands and by the millions, that's even, you know, much, much better. But the fact that if we can reach out and just touch two or three, if we can redirect the minds and get them at an age where we can educate them and deter them from going that route? Because it seems like mostly the initiation for our black men now is to have at least be incarcerated at one or two times during the period of their life before they reach 20 years of age.
Sure, and even after they reach 20 years of age, still you still have the perpetuation of that going on. See, what I want the listener to understand is this, is that what we're interested in doing is saving the most important child, your child. And if you are the young adult, the child, what we're interested in saving is the most important child, you. Okay?
Right.
It all begins and ends with you. See, we're a society of what essentially, through commerce, it is built and developed off of our own selfish desire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what we were rewarded on. If I can figure out a way to help some other people, I'm going to help me. But at the end of the day, more often than not, it's about helping me is the way this thing works. And so what I'm saying
right.
to you is that as the child or the parent of the child needs to understand what's important is that their child doesn't find themselves in that situation. And if the child
right.
don't them find themselves in that situation, because it's a burden on the entire family. It's not just a burden on the child that's incarcerated. They need mom to come and visit them at the prison system for support.
Right.
They want the brothers and sisters to come and visit them at the prison system for support. The only way that child is going to have an opportunity to potentially get out of that system is that they are being communicated to and that there's a support system that's ready for them when they come out. And that
mm-hmm.
and that's usually going to be the parents or the sisters and brothers is going to be the ones
right.
that provide that support. So,
mm-hmm.
so,
and
so
that,
everyone's affected.
Right. And then to redirect them, because now that you've had a taste of that life, then sometimes it can deter you or it can put you in a situation where now you feel that, as you said earlier, that you have arrived.
Well,
now you are
cases,
the real gangster. So.
Sure, that's one aspect of it, but there's another aspect of it. It says I've been socially tagged in that way. When I go out into the work world, I'm thinking to myself, who's going to hire me? I'm a convicted felon.
Right.
And so what you have is the perpetuation based off of low self-esteem and confidence in themselves, where you have a situation where that child, or no longer a child, that adult has been assigned in their own mind that, you know, I can't make it. I need everybody to do something to me because they're not going to hire me. You say no to the job before the job say no to you. They're
right,
not going to hire
right,
me because
right.
this is the only kind of job I'm going to be able to get.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mentality that they would take on.
Right. Now, check this out. See, it used to be a felony, but now I believe with this Patriot Law, that now even a misdemeanor would prohibit you from finding gainful employment. And with that said, we're going to take a little break here. I'm going to get our first guest on the line. Also, we're going to listen to one of our selections of songs here. You've been listening to the Daniel Clark and Marshall Jones Show, sponsored by Daniel Clark Network Radio. On the line, my co-host, Mr. Wilbert Geis, director of the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. And under that program is We Got to Do Something to Save Our Children and the Training Academy. If you want to check those courses out, you can visit DanielClarkNetworkRadio.net and look on the Training Academy. Also, while you're there, I want to send a shout-out to Mrs. Carr from Carr's Creation Fashion Designs. And so we're going to get into this, and we'll give us about 2 minutes here. We're going to come back with one of our guests on the line, which is a young gentleman here in this area that happened to be a male single parent. We'll be right with you. Daniel Clark Network Radio. Yes, Daniel Clark Network Radio from the artist Shay. Title song, Stay Open. Now let's see if we can get our guests here. Mr. Geist, you still with us?
Absolutely.
What up?
Yes, Mr. Big City, what's going on?
What's going on? What up?
Daniel Clark Network Radio. You're on the air live with Mr. Wilbert Geist here, which is the director of the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. So, happy Father's Day, my brother.
Well, thank you.
Happy Father's Day.
So I'm going to start, Wilbert, if you could just give this young brother a little session on what it is. Let's see here.
You mentioned something a moment ago that I want to add a little bit of correction to. When you said the misdemeanor is the thing that that can stop you from moving forward, you know, yes, it can.
Yes,
but,
sir. I got
know,
disconnected.
Okay, I got you back on. Yeah, he's here now. Go ahead.
Well, yes, it can affect you. But the most important thing that affects you, whether it be a misdemeanor whether it be a felony, what's going on between your ears, what you're thinking. You have to understand that disclosure is what's important if you're looking at getting a job. I had a misdemeanor in my, I think, in my early 20s, and I was able to get an insurance license to sell life insurance for a major insurance company, but I had to do disclosure on that. It slowed down my process, but it did not stop me. And what I'm saying is that what happens is when you stop yourself mentally based off of the fact that you've been tagged, then you're dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm going to do disclosure, and I'm going to still move forward, because there's so many people in the society that have been tagged with misdemeanors and felonies and et cetera that, you know, they might not find anybody to do the job today if they're requiring a perfect clean record.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Mr. Big City. Just
yes,
a little background and dive on in here. We're basically, you know, wishing everybody a happy Father's Day. By the way, anyone that want to call in and send a shout-out to their father, you can give us a call at 646-478-4995. So, my brother, just give us a brief history of who you are, what you do, and, you know, send some shout-outs.
Yeah, hey, how you doing there, Mr. Clark? My name is DJ Big City. I'm from Richmond, Virginia. I'm originally from New York City, but I'm here, a single father of two, and I wish all you fathers a happy Father's Day. I'm coming in and telling the conversation. I don't know what the topic is right now, but you can just brief me in on what the topic is for today.
Basically, we're just, you know, kind of floating, but we're concentrating on incarceration, young black men. The program is we got to do something to save our children. We're still pushing that forward. But we was just talking about the system and how our young sisters and brothers is being incarcerated as a result of drugs, guns, gun violence, and things of that nature. And I believe from at your age, you're probably more familiar with the attitude of young brothers out there now than Mr. Geis or myself would be. So if you could just elaborate a little bit on, you know, growing up in New York and, you know, the peer pressure and different things that you faced as a young black man.
Well, first of all, I want to say that jail doesn't rehabilitate anybody. And second thing is that our power starts way before you even see the inside of a jail cell. Our power stems from slavery, you know, the things that we still go through right now is still a form of slavery, and therefore, you know, the outcome is jail or death. My experience is that right now that, you know, it's cool to be a fool and to go to jail. You know, a lot of these songs that's out, a lot of these TV shows that's promoting homosexuality, promoting to be incarcerated, you know what I'm saying? They're promoting, and a lot of times, too, a lot of people don't understand that the jail system right now is investing in a lot of music now. They're investing in rap music, you know, as a way of saying, well, okay, we invest in a record company for them to put out this type of music, then, of course, they're going to act and behave a certain way, which is going to cause them to go to jail, which is more money in dollar signs for us.
Now, let me ask you this, because, you know, I came, you know, I had an independent record label, and I have several artists that I produced during the the beginning of the hip-hop, or they was calling it gangster rap at that time. But do you feel that the rappers and a lot of the music that's being produced have some impact of the way that our kids are now acting in our community today?
Yeah, of course they do. You know, you understand the devil is the leader of the choir in the heavens. So, you know, music is definitely one of the devil's tools to, you know, keep us down. Definitely.
Okay, what about...
And it ain't just today's music. It's all music. It ain't just today's music. It's all. It's been that forever. It's been that forever. Think about, like, we're talking about... like, I just mentioned that they're promoting a lot of homosexuality and stuff now and stuff. The same thing, Tutti Frutti. That was my Little Richard. So, you know, there's a lot of songs that was out back then. You know, you got people like Clarence Carter. You got people that was, you know, always, you know, talked about different things that was related to the street. You had Superfly. You had songs that was always talking about the things that was going on in the streets and poverty. And Papa was a Rolling Stone. You see what I'm saying? So it was always songs that was out, that was always, you know, speaking about the things that went on in our community.
So, Mr. Geist, what's your take on that? What do you think about?
He's 100% on point. Me and Mrs. Jones. That wasn't promoting homosexuality, but that was promoting infidelity.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. And in Texas, where I grew up, if you got caught with Mrs. Jones in the house, you don't have to worry about getting caught no more.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of like losing a leg or something on the way out the window, right?
Well,
right.
Losing a leg.
you know, right, and you know, my thing is that we got to take responsibility for what's going on and really stop playing the blame game. Well, we're going to blame it on the white man. We're going to blame it on the young kids of today. We're going to blame it on the old people. You know, it just goes, we got to take responsibility for our own actions. That's just my outlook on it.
Yeah, I think responsibility is important, is very important. But when you have a situation, as you referred to starting out, you first have to help people understand why it is they think the way they think. That slave mentality that you referred to, that you can free the slaves because now their minds have been enslaved. And so a part of what we look at doing is beginning to educate people in the fact that they aren't going to deal drugs in secret. Educate people on the fact that they need to educate themselves and have several different types of trades to fall back on as they move forward in life versus being in the situation where they don't have a job and the only thing they can think of is to go out there and do something that's going to find themselves in a situation of being incarcerated.
Right, and more of a support mechanism, whereas instead of going to your drug buddy, you may have a group of other individuals that's involved in something else that can do the same thing, and that is to give you the type of education and the type of training that you need. We understand that the system is not providing jobs, but what we have to start doing is providing jobs for ourselves, jobs for our own community. So that's one of the things that that we're kind of working on. You know, you got Maze in the background there?
Yeah, that was just somebody dropping my head.
Oh, okay. So they jamming.
Yeah, that's my truck about me.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so some of the programs that we have developed is programs that an individual should be able to take that training and run with it. So that's what we're moving forward on.
Yeah, well, that's accepting responsibility right there. Is when you're in a situation where you're going to reach out, get the necessary education you need to get from a number of different areas if necessary, and do what you need to do. Now, you got superstars who are going to be able to just get one trade like the music industry and be successful at it. But at the same time, I don't see anything wrong with an individual having something to fall back on as they're moving forward because they still got to eat every day.
Most definitely. You know, all knowledge is good. You know, you got to get all that we can. You know, we got to take the knowledge that they give us and also add to it. and educate ourselves, you know, and we got a cross-reference, you know.
Okay. So what is your experience as a single father, being the role of a mother and a father in today's society? What is your experience, and what can you say or advice can you give other brothers or sisters that's in that position?
Well, my experience of it is to be quite honest with you, I can never take the place of a mother. I can only be a father. Is you know, and that's something that we got to deal with, because that's dysfunctional. This is a what my situation is, dysfunctional. You can't have a functional household with only one parent.
Right.
You know, that's dysfunctional. And mm-hmm. and with that being said, you know, what we have to look at is as being men, we have to be leaders anyway. You know, this is really the only country where as though when the parents break up that they go with the mothers. In every other country, if you break up or there's a divorce or whatever, the kids automatically, you know, go with the father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's again is a way to weaken us, you know, because the children are being raised by women when that's not really their role. That's not really their
right.
role, you know, and the burden is being put on them, and then you have these men that grow up, you know, with some missing things, with, you know, key things that they're missing in their lives, which softens them up to be feminine and have feminine tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
And the women are now turning to other women.
True.
That's the bottom line, you know. And I take my hat off to all the women that are raising, you know, their children single-handedly, but that's really not their role. You know, they're taking on a role that's forced upon them.
Right, right, right. Now, I feel that as far as the population that is now changing, whereas men are with men and women are with women, I think that is a tremendous movement that's have been growing for quite some time. And, I mean, I don't quite understand it, don't want to understand it, ain't trying to be involved in it or hating on it or anything of that nature, but I'm from the old school, and I just don't see it that way. So to me, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. You know.
Right, exactly.
That's just how it is.
And that's the way it should be. But you got to understand what your role is as a man, and you got to understand what your role is as a woman to do that correctly.
Right.
Well,
right.
I want to tune in just a little bit on this. That's been going on for thousands of years. What you have taking place today is you have the outward expression of what has at one time been under the cover. Ancient writings specifically talk about what happened to societies that moved in that direction. So for us to say that it's something new nowadays, it's been going on a very, very long time. It's just that now it's going on in our face. And in the in-your-face type of situation, what you have, which makes it very challenging, is you have young kids seeing that as a potential option or angle or direction that they might be able to take or experiment or do whatever in life with. And that's the big difference, is that it's so in your face.
Yeah, and I'm like, why should a child be placed in that position?
Well, a child shouldn't be placed in that position from a functional perspective. But you know, I studied ancient writings quite a bit, and I found that some people are born homosexual, and there is another set of people who are not born homosexual and choose to become homosexual, and that's a part of what you're dealing with today. Now, why at this particular point in time? Why at this particular point in time? You know, that answer, there is an answer as to why it is at this particular point in time. But that answer deals more with what's going on socially on the planet in terms of world population and how the desire is to reduce and slow world population. And so we don't have to worry about when two women get together or two men get together. We do not have to worry about a pregnancy taking place unless that woman or man was once a male and became a female. Then you may have a situation where some sort of pregnancy, I'm familiar with one case that may happen. But this is the sign of the times in which we are in. And this was set up to be this way, and it's going to continue to move in that way. And I'm from the old school. I mean, I don't have the tendency, I don't have the curiosity to move in that direction, but I do understand that, as I said earlier, what we have to do is to identify young men and young women that go through the training that's going to be offered here to help shore up their sexuality. And this is
right.
This is who you are. This is what you are, and this is something that's going to help you as you move forward. Now, based off of the way they're thinking today, we may find ourselves in a situation where we have to be very sensitive to the other side, because that's the environment that they're living in today, and that they are sensitive to one another. So I'm just saying that's something that has to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, because what's next on the list is going to be bestiality. That's going to be next.
Right.
It's going to be that's soon in the making. That's the next step.
Say that word again.
Bestiality.
It's already on the horizon.
That's already on the way. People are going to start having sex with their animals, horses, dogs,
And thing I'd like to add to that is, and you know about it, because it's been going on ever since I was a child.
But like you said, it's not in your face right now. And the reason, but the thing is, you got these TV shows, you know, like The Family Guy, where the dog is taking over the house. He's controlling what's going on in the house. You know, you got a lot of these other shows that come on cable that just actually just shows, you know, it's no control. It's out of control. You know, the father's coming home dressed up as a woman, you know. All this kind of thing they show us on TV every day just to embed that into the next generation's DNA.
Right.
It becomes a part of your makeup. It's a digital way of doing that. See, we always think of things being chemically, you know, because this is a digital way of embedding that into your DNA.
Sure.
Subliminal messages. Yeah. Okay. Well, I tell you, our young kids have a real challenge ahead of them in terms of what is being presented to them. And I don't know. We can't control everything that goes on in our community, but one of the things that we're mostly concerned about is the incarceration of our young black men, the gun violence. Go ahead.
Right, and I didn't want to get off. I didn't want to get off of that subject, but really, to be honest with you, that's still on the same subject because our minds are incarcerated. And that's what I was saying at the beginning of the conversation. It's just not a physical thing. It's a mental thing, you know. It starts with the mind. So if they can incarcerate us mentally, the physical is easy. That's easy.
Right. 100% right.
So it's a mental thing. So, you know, the tricks that they play on us and the things that they have in store for us, like I said, you know, once they can trap your mind, everything else is easy. Everything is easy. It's just that simple. You know, people want a long, drawn-out explanation for this. It really is not. It's real simple.
Right. You can look at it and see it every day. I mean, but to make that decision whether to go along with it or to do something about it, and we've chose to do something about it instead of just sitting back and relaxing and business as usual. And that's one of the reasons that we are here each and every Sunday from 3 to 5. We got to do something to save our children. My other host, Marsha Jones from the Ohio Players, brother, wherever you're at, we're going to send you a happy Father's Day. And to each and every one out there in our listening voice, my brother Jeff, Ricky, you know, all of you guys, my brother-in-law, you know, we want to send you a shout-out. Happy Father's Day. To each and every one of you, and for all the mothers that's out there in the sound of our voice that is carrying the role as a mother and a father, we also want to send you a shout-out. Well, look, guys, we're coming up on another half an hour here. We've got another guest that I want to bring on the line, so if you all can, you know, just check this song out for a few minutes, and when we come back, we will have Mr. Joe Phillips from the Winstons, Color Him Father, on the air with us. Joe, Mr. Joe Phillips, Daniel Clark Network Radio. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, same to you there, Daniel. Same to you.
Yeah, we have on the line Mr. Wilbert Geis from the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, also Big City, one of our local DJs here in Richmond, Virginia. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Joe Phillips from the Winstons, the hit song, Color Him Father. What's up, my brother?
Hey, nothing, just it's celebrating Father's Day. Hope yours is going well.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. We was just wanting to reach out to you. We was playing the Color Him Father song today and, you know, just wanted to get some input on that particular song and how you guys came up with it.
Oh, well, Color Him Father actually came up named Richard Spencer when he had the original set of Winstons back in 1969, came up with it.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the song and recorded on Metro Media Records back in the day. As a matter of fact, it did very well for the group back there during the Vietnam era and during that time. And definitely the song did very well for the group. And
right.
But after that, the group dismantled shortly after that, and then I put together a set in 1969 called, the Winstons, and we still go out and celebrate the fathers and try to bring attention to the fathers, when we can. We cover the fathers
right,
out there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, and that song is still growing strong. And it's still a song that is preferred over Father's Day and even into the Christmas holidays, Mr.
Geist,
have you had an opportunity to talk with Mr. Phillips before?
I don't recall, but I tell you one thing. It is truly an honor to have an opportunity to be on the phone with a man that sung that song, I Color Him Father. I mean, that's just an oldie but goodie, no question about that.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah. We're still performing it today. Like I said, Richard Spencer and his crew, he started it in the early days of 1969, but we're still going out and performing it today. So it's a pleasure for us. It's a pleasure being on the line with you also.
Yes, sir. It's definitely an honor to be on the phone with a known legend, and to know that you're still healthy, to know that you're still healthy, alive, and still doing what you love to do.
Oh, yes.
Right. Matter of fact, Big City, Joe have several new songs that's out. I'm going to make sure that. You get copies of them, so when you're out there doing your mobile thing, your club thing, your cabarets, you can always give him a shout and introduce, his new music. We've got several songs here. Matter of fact, there's another song, Joe, that I wanted to introduce to everyone. I mean, it doesn't fit into my profile for today, but I just fell in love with it. It's called I'll Come Running.
That's off the Winston CD
that I have, so I'm going to squeeze that into this session someplace along the way, But, yeah, man, I just wanted to give you a shout-out. It's always a pleasure to have you on the radio, and, we're looking forward to doing some live shows, and you definitely – we support those who support us, so you're in the front line.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. We definitely look forward to it. Definitely thanks for having me on today. And like I said, it's a pleasure being on the line with my man, and it's definitely a pleasure, and definitely happy Father's Day to you and all the listeners out there.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Joe Phillips from the Winstons. All right, Joe, I know you got a busy schedule, man. I appreciate you coming on. So we're going to let you get back with the family and everything. I'm going to give a little taste of this song, and we're going to continue with We got to do something to save our children.
Peace, my brother. I like to do this for someone very special in my life. And that's my father.
I got to honor my father.
Honor my father.
He's a part of me.
He's a part of me.
I got to honor my father.
Honor my father.
Take good care of me.
Take care of me.
My daddy.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Clark Network Radio on the line with me, Mr. Wilbur Geisen, also DJ Big City. You know, we just having some conversations talking about the state of black men, incarceration, you know, racial profiling. We've talked about racial profiling and different things that we can do and pass on through the radio station. If you're interested in calling in, you could give us a call, 646-478-4995. You want to send a shout out to your father or the special person that's in your life that is having that role, then feel free to give us a call. So, Mr. Geis, what's going on?
Well, you know, it was truly an honor to be on the phone with the individual that sung I'll Color Him Father. I mean, I was about 11 years old when that hit came out, and so I was shaped by it in the sense that it was music that was played around me.
Right.
Didn't have a father myself, but it did have an actual impact on me, and it was just such an overwhelming honor to have the opportunity to be on the phone with him and to speak with him for the brief second that I did.
Right. Yeah, I truly appreciate Joe. I mean, we've done quite a few things. I used to do a program up in Washington, D.C., the Mayday Mayday Project for our youth and train youth in various different aspects of the entertainment business. And you know, guys like the Winstons, Ernie Fields, Jock Johnson, I mean, all these guys used to come out and support us while we trained, did open mics and things of that nature for the kids. So, and that legacy has been there. Whenever I holler, he always answers. So I want to thank that brother for being a part of this and also for supporting this radio station and what it is that we're trying to do. So, Mr. Big City, what's
yes,
going
sir.
On this evening?
Just right here and just enjoy the rest of the day with the family. That's about it. Not really too much going on today.
Right. Now, we had discussed doing some things here in Richmond, and we need to kind of get back to that at some point so that we can move forward and see what kind of energy we can bring into this area. But having the concept, we got to do something to save our children now. And we need funds someplace. We got to start creating and generating funds in order to make this thing work. So once again, I want to send a shout out to Ms. Carr, which is with our Carr's Creation Fashion Designs, and we should have approximately 35 garments to be hitting that website for purchase real soon.
Yes,
also, we need to focus more on getting our want to get back into the New Music Monday. And Mr. Geis, I've also approached this young man about doing a DJ show for us on the weekend, whether it be Friday's Happy Hour or Saturday's Throwback. We haven't quite gotten there yet, but we have
had. It's on the way.
Yeah, about having a regular rotation, you know, and that's one of the things that I'm trying to focus on now is we want to fill this radio station up with different programs each and every day that's carrying that same concept.
Well, the way we bite an elephant is one bite at a time. That's how we eat them. And that's exactly
right.
What we're dealing with right here is that one bite at a time. And I want to thank my young DJ brother for joining the effort here because we definitely need someone with everything that he brings to the table in terms of his intelligence, in terms of his skill set as a DJ, in terms of his understanding of the kind of market we're in today. And I just want to send out a shout of praise to him. Thank you, my brother, for joining us here, and we look forward to working with you.
Oh, yes, sir. No problem. Not a problem at all. This is definitely an attempt to save, you know, the youth. It's not really, you know, it's not really based on a black or a white thing because it's a people thing. You know, we're just trying to get out here, spread the word, and see what we can do to help, you know, others that's in need.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, you know. Because it's not a black or white thing, but it's more so needed in our neighborhoods than in other neighborhoods. So
yes, sir.
I got to deal with home first. But you know, I wouldn't deny anyone the opportunity to participate. You know, then that will make me know better than the individuals that we are trying to basically send a message to. We got to do something to save our children. It's time for black men to stand up and ask my partner, Marsha Jones, from the Ohio Players, to say that we have trusted our most precious commodity with this system, and we see what the system have given back to us. So it's time for us as black men now to take control of our kids,
yes, sir,
in our communities, and that is by any means necessary,
yes, sir,
through raising and creating jobs, training our school system, which is deteriorating, which means that our kids is not being very well educated, and the education that they have is not, you know, keeping up with society, not like the Asian kids and all the other races of people that seems to come to this country and do very well, very fast.
Right. Another thing I wanted to bring up, too, if I'm going to cut across you, but one thing that I do want to mention, too, is that we also have to start filling out our census forms. That is very important. Our census form is very important so that we can get these school books and the technology in the schools that we need for our kids as well.
Right, and that's definitely something that we need to spend some time in doing. So maybe we can have a campaign one Sunday and just educate people on how important it is to fill out these census. Some people look at it in a different fashion, but it does bring dollars to the community, dollars to the school system, and the different things that you're able to get in the community by making sure that everyone is accounted for.
Yes, sir.
What's your opinion on that, Mr. Geis?
I agree 100%. I mean, that's, you know, we spoke earlier about grant dollars and federal programs, and, you know, the only way you're going to really get the recognition of the proper amount of grant dollars and federal programs that we speak about and our state programs is if you stand up and be counted.
Yes, sir.
So that was an excellent point that you made, because, you know, Daniel, a lot of people look at that differently. You know, they're,
right,
they're looking
right
at that as we need to hide. And that's one of the things that we're for as a community, that we don't have to be in a situation of where we need to hide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to stand up and be counted.
Yes, sir.
And we definitely got to get on top of that. And hopefully next week, you know, I'm going to work very hard on Monday and trying to get our guest available next weekend. And if his time would permit, we're going to have the discussion on incarceration and black men will be the topic.
Okay.
For next week, and I will have a professional individual on air with us that has basically been in that system for quite some time from the education standpoint, visiting all the prisons systems and working with the government and the system that incarcerate these young black men and trying to educate the young man and the system. So he has been very popular in his effort to work with that system. However, we know that from the standpoint of where I grew up from, that it was more a system for me to be targeted as a young black man to go to jail, even for a lesser crime, but was able to receive more time, even though I'd never been incarcerated other than maybe a traffic ticket or something of that nature. But it's been proven that our communities are profiled, our black men are profiled, and that that needs to be something that our government need to start focusing on. I mean, not just guns and how they get into our community, but there is no reason for anyone in this country, and I'll say this again, and I believe it with my heart, and I will express and explain and die for it. There is no reason for an individual to be discriminated against because of the color of his skin. So for all of my law enforcement officers out there that use that badge as a means to carry out your personal feelings toward individuals, and it happens all the time, that's got to stop. And at some point, we got to police the police.
Exactly.
It ought to be a matter of public records. And if you got one renegade running around in the community that's arresting, and his arrest record shows that every person that he have arrested in the last 30 or 40 days was black, then we need to take a look at that guy. Because more than likely, he's using that system to publicly do his discriminating acts. Happens all the time. So there is a lot. This program and this radio station is not designed to make people feel good or look good. We're not designed to dance and to hop around. We're designed to get into the community, make a difference in the community, and from where I sit, and with my experience from the time I was a small kid growing up in a little small town where I had to go on the black side in order to get a barbecue sandwich, but paid the same price that white man paid on the other side, which was much cleaner than the side that we were on, you know, to being a 60-year-old man and still can sit here and say that discrimination have not changed. You know, it has been sugar-coated, and it's undercover. And if you look at our governments and the Ryans and Cruises and Boehner's and all of these folks, they're basically telling you how they feel about you as a black person. The laws, the rules, the regulations that they're pushing and putting forward, the things that they're taking, they're no longer giving, they are taking. And if we as a race of people do not stand up, come together, and start working together to develop, market, manufacture, take control of our communities, then I got to tell you, we might as well just go ahead and accept everything that they do.
Well, I'm not going
to
do that.
I like to get your opinion, on that.
Whose opinion you want on that?
I said I'd like to get your opinion on what I just said.
Well, I mean, you know, everything you said was correct. We do have to understand that you're dealing with the system that has been rolling for a long time. Okay? And so in order for us to be able to win this battle, we have to bite at it one piece at a time, one step at a time. And we also have to understand that if you're in this battle, that it is a battle, and that you got to have thick skin. Because the moment that you begin to, or we begin to, have the success that it is that we desire, don't think that everybody's just going to sit back and say, we're so happy for you. It's going to be an adversarial situation that comes up that might place you in a situation where you get to taste something that you said you hadn't really tasted yet. But
right.
please don't let that deter you. Okay? Anything worth having is worth fighting for. Okay? And you fought for this country. Now we're talking about fighting to save some our children who are people who need everything that we can give to them in terms of understanding and in terms of wherewithal to be able to move forward and to step outside of the trap that's waiting down the road for them. So just like Dr. King, what I'm saying to you is that, yes, you have a dream, but at some point in time, as you have the dream, you have to understand that the system isn't just sitting back and saying, oh, he's doing pretty good. He's stopping people from going into the trap that's laid out. You know, just understand that jail ain't a bad thing, a prison ain't a bad thing for you.
That's right. I agree totally with that. You know, my whole outlook on it as well is the same as yours. You can't have peace without war.
Right. That's the way that thing is set up.
Say that again.
You can't have peace without war. You
hey,
have to fight
so
for
man.
What it is that you have to fight for. This isn't going to be something that's going to be given to us just because, you know, we're having these conversations on air. This is something that you have to really get out there and really fight for. Because
you're absolutely right. And the war, you know, we've been at war. I mean, and I'm just bringing it to the forefront right now. I mean, just like everybody else, you know, this is something that has been laid back into the cut. I mean, nobody wants to talk about racism. Nobody want to talk about racial profiling. Nobody want to talk about discrimination. How do you know when you go in that federal government, and I spent quite a few years in the federal government. Matter of fact, I can tell you some experiences that I had in the federal government. How do you know who that guy that's sitting in that cubicle next to you, you know, when they get over those buses at 3 o'clock in the morning and they ride for 2.5 hours and get off at the Pentagon and they come in and they sit next to you? You see, how do you know who that supervisor is, like my captain at 1st and 29th Infantry, Fort Benning, Georgia? How do you know who that guy is when he are not in that commanding officer stage, or the individuals that you've seen now on television that in a position to control our country? These are individuals that make the decision on the laws that is put and provided for us as individuals in this country. And if you look at how they act and how they behaved, you can already see that these individuals here ain't no policies that's designed that takes away from you. They might as well go ahead and say how they really feel about you as a black individual or as, let's just say, poor people now, because I'm told that this thing is shifting now from not black and white but rich and poor. But the
rich
fact
and poor, and rich and poor, also as a mindset, is also as a mindset. They're grouping people according to the way that they think. If you think this way, then you stand over here. If you think this way, then okay, y'all form a line over here. And if you think this way, then I need y'all to stand over here. You know, and it's not really based on this is genocide. So was it the thing that's going on now? Everybody's mixing their seeds together. Everybody's mixing. You have all these different races, you know, having babies, and they're mixing their seeds. So it's really not about race. It's about a mindset.
Right. Right.
Absolutely correct. See, and that's one of the reasons why. That's one of the reasons why I speak oftentimes to the veteran. As a key ingredient to be able to affect change. And I say the veteran because in order to become a veteran, you have to have been socially conditioned by the system for unity, for
right.
organization. And so you will find leaders outside of veterans that you can bring along with you. But if you have someone who is still awake and alert and has been trained for leadership and has been trained for unity and has been trained to be prepared to fight, so to speak, meaning to go through difficult encounters and to be take in some abuse, then you are at least somewhat ahead of the game. Because what typically happens, as I told someone sometime back regarding these things in terms of changes in the society, I said when the lights go on, most people behave like roaches at night when the lights go on in the kitchen.
That's right.
Right.
They run into running into the wall.
That's
trying
right.
to get out the
yep.
light.
Okay? Now, guys, we've got. I'm sorry. Give me a couple of seconds here. We've got approximately 3 minutes left on the air. Actually, 2 minutes and 23 seconds. So I want to give everybody maybe 20 seconds, and I'm going to start putting everything in place to close out. So we'll let you finish.
Yeah, and all I'm saying is that is to try and test it, she'll be found to be true. Because the people who had easy, cushy lives, when things get tough, they get running.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Big City, you got 20 minutes there. I mean, 20 seconds.
Okay, well, I just want to, you know, get, like I said, I think that I can close it out on that right there. You know, we all in agreement. I really have nothing else to add to that. You know, I just want to, you know, wish everybody that's listening a happy Father's Day and to be blessed and to have the rest of the year as being so.
Right on, my brother, and I appreciate you coming on today, man, taking out of your busy schedule and everything, and hopefully you will continue to patronize us, and you know the concept is there. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Daniel Clark Network Radio, the show, Daniel Clark and Marsha Jones Show, Marsha Jones from the Ohio Players, which is not with us today, but I know my brother will be here next weekend. I want to send a shout out to each and every one of you out there. I want to wish everyone a happy Father's Day for all of those who are in the sound of my voice. In the background, we got to do something to save our children from the intruders. You can look for us each and every Sunday from 3 to 5, Daniel Clark Network Radio. I want to thank my brother, Mr. Wilbur Geis, which is the director for the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. You can also check our website out at DanielClarkNetworkRadio.net. And if you want to see some of the training programs that we have, you can go to our training academy. Also, check out Cars Creation Fashion Designs, which is coming soon.
We think you know. That's not the problem.
You can give me a call, Daniel Clark, 301-257-6926. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great day. And fathers, happy Father's Day. Thank you.
Thank you.